So I'm going to call this meeting to order at 6:30. And the roll call.
Barry Dickstein.
Yeah.
George Platt.
Robert Bessel.
Russ Asloff.
And nobody else. So, okay. Cool.
Nope.
Anybody from the public? Well, we're not public, but we can talk anyway. Okay. No. No public tonight.
Can I make a motion to adjourn? Is that out of order?
No, actually, you can do that. You actually can. Motion denied.
Now you broke the parliamentary procedure. Didn't call for a second or a vote.
That's right. Okay, so let's go to our first item, which is the Axe Factory. Neil, you have... We don't have a whole lot.
No. I've been out since about, I think, June 18th. Was back yesterday for the first time, catching up on unused vacation time. And I've primarily been working on the remaining bureaucratic requirements for the DECD Brownfields grant. Got Mr. Penny, our CEO, to sign some paperwork today that I worked on and sent it back to them before I came over here. And also, I've been trying to get a clear statement from DEC that I'm okay to issue the RFP for that work. I know in speaking with Lisa Tilney, she's very anxious for us to start that as soon as possible, as are we. I right before I came over here, I sent another message kind of just clearly asking, are we eligible to go out for RFPs at this time? Now that, again, is for the DECD Brownfield grant. That's $200,000 to update the remedial action plan. You would note him for attendance.
Yeah.
And then that remedial action plan will be refined to match the approved site plan now that we have, and it'll also include geotechnical work on a lot of structures on the property that need to be understood how safe and secure they are, and then an energy audit analysis to see what other efficiencies they could do. Can they do plant decentralization, et cetera, green energy, stuff like that. And then market study, that would be a component for the future tax agreement, financing agreement, if we're able to get that far. So that was $200,000. Now, I wasn't here for May meeting, and I don't recall it coming up in the June meeting, but in doing some of that work, I came across, it was the EPA had announced that it had given money to different regions and areas in the state. Mm. And it was May 15th that gave $750,000 to CROG for the Brownfield, for them to use as Brownfield revolving loan funds. Mm-hmm. That was marked in that article to be for a data center in Hartford and Collinsville. So I imagine it was for the Axe Factory. I did reach out to my grant contact over there, Elizabeth Sanderson, who's wonderful, and just asked for additional details to make sure it's clear what that scope of work is going to be for. I believe it's going to be for cleanup work that'll follow the grant that we have.
Uh-huh.
Most likely the revolving loan fund would be to, we're going to have the plan of how to clean up, and that will be a pot that could be used to start actual physical cleanup, but I need to verify that. But that was good news that I didn't have earlier today, or
that's great,
earlier this month. So I don't have the exact dollar amount. It was $750,000 allocated to those projects, and I don't know if that's 50-50. If Hartford gets 80%, we get 20%. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm anxious to find more details out about that, because I don't recall that coming up in last 2 months.
Never heard of it.
No, that's been on TV a lot, but the. I've seen a couple different times about the state of Connecticut putting money towards remediation across the state, multiple projects. So,
yeah.
Sure. Yeah, make fallow properties usable again.
Yeah.
And, productive.
What's the Hartford site? Do we know?
What's that?
Do you know what they're doing in Hartford?
That's the big data center tear down right across from Walmart.
Oh yeah.
Right? Oh okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That's where it's just coming from.
Yeah, they're talking about that money would go to tear down or partially tear down the data center building.
Gotcha.
Hmm. Well, because they're tearing down the parking garage now. But the data center, because there's a bunch of data centers down there.
The gigantic bomb shelter data center that you see when you come into Hartford,
yeah.
or when you look out from the ballpark that's been there since I was a young boy.
Mm. Yeah.
No windows.
Yeah. No windows.
No windows.
No. You're afraid of bugs, literally. Oh, yeah. You've heard about what debugging is, right?
Maybe.
They used to, all those circuits were hardwired, and they used vacuum tubes. And they got hot. They'd open up the windows. The bugs would come in, die against the tubes, shut down the system. So then they had to debug the system.
That's where the term comes from.
That's where it comes from.
Wow.
That's where it comes from. Anyway, bit of trivia.
Yep.
Cool. Any questions, thoughts? Then we have the Route 44 corridor study. Neil shared this afternoon that the Board of Selectmen reviewed this corridor study and had a bunch of comments and recommendations, but quite frankly, I have not gone through this material. I think it was added this afternoon.
Yeah, it just went on this afternoon after after lunch, I believe.
Okay. So I don't know if anybody else has had a chance to look at it.
No.
Okay, so probably...
Is that the water data one, or...?
This is the CROG corridor study.
So basically, there was a public hearing from the Board of Selectmen on the 25th, so I put the minutes from that in the meeting packet.
That's that one. Yeah. I just saw the presentation they had out there, but
that
didn't have any...
This,
I wasn't here for that one.
Yeah, this, you know, I'm looking through the minutes right now, and it gets very kind of into the weeds. You know, we're talking about supporting projects A1, A2, B2, you know, it's like, I don't know what the hell those are. And, you know, so the various selectmen are saying which clauses they agree to. So without having that plan in front of us, we really don't know what those are. So probably table this until next meeting. Okay, do we need to table or a motion to table? Okay.
What I can do is, I don't have it pulled up, but I had been requested to write a memo to summarize the study recommendations that was probably was what the selectman referring to, so I can put that in the meeting packet for next month with
that would be
those
great.
Minutes, and then that might be able to be like a decoder ring.
Yeah, we definitely need that.
Yeah.
There's so much going on here. Okay, moving on. Community outreach, community survey. Okay. And business outreach.
Yep, that's mine. I went through it again because I've kind of ignored it for the last couple of months. And I'm gonna figure out the details, but I'm going to get the Q code for it and get it set up to release. And then basically print out a bunch of cards with the Q code on it, description of what we're doing, and walk around town and go, because we don't really have a database of emails to pull from, so it's going to just be walk around that thing.
Did you see that thing I sent you, Russ?
Yeah.
Did it not, is that just, I'm just pulling it up again, mm-hmm. That's just addresses, right?
Yeah, that's just addresses.
Yeah, there were emails.
Yeah. Hmm. And I tried to get anything that the Canton
Chamber
had.
That sounds weird.
And I haven't been able to get. Nobody has anything. Nobody has a real list.
No,
of
it's been difficult.
It's very haphazard. I never made the attempt to try and gather them all up.
Yeah.
It's not even next door.
So
down the hall.
So anyway, so it looks like it's going to be a workaround. Give out Q codes and see what we get kind of as a response. We can go from there.
What's your time frame on that? When do you think you'll be
done? I'm going to try and do that. I'll try and get that done before the next meeting. So within the next couple of weeks, get that Q code.
Okay.
I got to figure out, haven't done this before, so I may have to tap on the match for that. But I think it's pretty straightforward.
Okay.
Anyway. Neil, do you know who? So I had found this and I sent it to Russ. On our website, on the Canton website, there was a 2024 grand list personal property assessment. It was a PDF that was out there, and it lists all the businesses in town and kind of what their value is, and I guess what we tax them on. But if they have all this information, is there a database somewhere else that has email addresses, I wonder?
I have never been able to find one. And we searched a few number of years ago.
Yeah.
Email addresses.
Because if they're requesting that much information, you figure they'd ask for an email address in today's age.
Yeah, most everybody has a contact of some sort. But
well, that would be in the assessor's office?
Possibly. I mean, the keeper of the most substantial records in town is the assessor database, right? That almost everything connects to it. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, every property has a file, so to speak, and then the file has an owner, et cetera. And then, but I don't recall on the county database there ever being like a line for emails. I mean, we're originated just in the day of everybody just got mail, like snail mail. And, I don't even know if it had phone numbers, to be honest. But
that's a good starting point.
Yeah.
I mean, I can forward out the rest of you guys, but it literally has 6 pages of businesses in town. Like, you know, first one, A1 towing, and then it gives their address, it gives their property number, and everything.
I've had that list for a long time.
Yeah, it was right on our website. That's what I was kind of interested in.
Yeah, we got it a long time ago, and I've tried this. I started going through that, and I started going like to the web, just to see if I could, make a compendium of emails and stuff like that. But it was pretty exhausting, and I was like, at that time there was no need for it because I forget what it was we were thinking about for. But so. There are a lot of businesses in this town. A lot of them, some of them are defunct. Some of them are home businesses. Some of them are really tiny, advisory or, whatever type of business. And finding anything on them, through the web or whatever is pretty minimal. So,
yeah.
But, I haven't seen the survey in a while. Is there a way to collect email? Are we asking for email?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So then we can build our own database a little bit.
Right? Yeah, we're asking for it.
But we may, start to solve the problem by putting a little notice out on the town website. The clerk will do that. Just like, hey, we're looking to survey, EDA is looking to survey businesses, please contact us.
Yeah.
And we'll send one right out to you. And she's, Tracy's very good.
Yeah,
very good.
Maybe I'll talk to her and see.
Yeah.
Who would they? We don't really have a. Who would they send it to, though? Do we have an EDA web? EDA email?
Do you send it to the town clerk?
We used to.
Just to the town clerk?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. I'll talk to Tracy and see.
Yeah.
If we can do something.
And then
otherwise it's just going to be a walk around thing and mail them out or whatever.
Some of the charity organizations like Lions and Rotary, they're tapping the businesses all the time. The chamber, I think, I'm sure they have a list, but it's split between Avon and Canton now.
And I thought Main Street would have the best list, and they told me they got basically nothing.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure if they're telling me the truth.
No, they're telling you the truth.
To me, it doesn't sound like that. They routinely contact a lot of the businesses in town. I would have thought they would have had at least a bare bones of them, but
I couldn't
even get that.
They have a good database or good feel for the businesses in Collinsville.
Yeah.
Canton Main Street, for the most part, is Collinsville based.
Right.
So the stuff that's outside, they don't know about.
Kind of where it stands.
Okay.
You can have the QR code kind of printed on like a.
That's what I'm going to wind up doing.
Just something to give to them and say, hey, when you can.
Yeah.
Give to them and then eventually mail to people or whatever. So,
we'll
see. It may take a while to get the word out, but we'll see what kind of response we get.
You can also reach out to that Bruce Decker over today and then John Fitz at Valley Press or Valley Life. Developer outreach. I think that's you and I. Developer outreach.
What about it?
I don't think we've done a whole lot since the
last. Nobody ever seemed interested at the EDA. The EDA has a view called developers lie. And early on, I said, how about we have a series of meetings with developers, because as you know, Bob, I know quite a few.
Yeah.
We could have a series of meetings with them. And the consensus here was, no, they lie.
Well, I think that's an old consensus.
Well, yeah, that was
very interesting to hear.
Yeah. I mean, I think this group here, if we were to take a vote right here, right now, I think we would all pretty much all say, yeah, let's
had a few over the last few years.
Yeah.
Come in and talk to us. You know, I mean, by all means, whether we get, you know, something magical out of them beyond what we know, hard to say, but sir, come and talk.
Yeah, or we talk to them, I think, sort of like one-on-one or two-on-one.
See, we went, a gigantic developer in this area is Mike Pizzuto. He's probably the richest man in this area as well. And somebody said, what about him? And I said, I'd be happy to set up a meeting with Mike.
Yeah.
And whoever wants to go can go with me or instead of me. And we went. And we had a really nice meeting with Mike.
Yeah.
Who at least expressed interest in the former IGA and whatever you call that little development.
Yeah, the Canton Village.
Canton Village. Yeah. And he actually was nice and interested, and he actually sent his development guy to meet with us.
Yeah.
Well, there are a bunch of other developers that we know that if we wanted to sit with them, they would sit with us. They'd have a cup of coffee. They would tell us what they think. They would.
Absolutely open to it. I'm absolutely open to it. I think it's smart. And they're probably not going to just flop out, oh, this is a project that we want to do. We got to do this on the first meeting. But if they can put a face with the name, you know, and start to build some kind of a relationship, eventually, you know, something's gonna pop, and they could give us a call and just say, hey, what about this?
Well, we've had nice chats with Jeffrey
Miner. Yep. Yes, we have.
Jeffrey has property in town. He's a nice guy. And we've had good one-on-ones with Jeffrey about developing his property.
Yeah.
I keep mentioning my buddy Richie Corris.
Yep.
Because I'm a good friend of his.
Yeah.
And Richie has told me that anytime, anywhere, you tell me, he'll buy or we buy.
Yeah.
Richie is the guy that just put in the little units where Jersey Mike's is, three little
chicken place next door.
The teriyaki place.
Yeah.
Yeah, Richie did that. But also, Richie does a lot. In West Hartford Center, on a corner of Trout Brook and Main Street, Farmington Avenue, Richie partnered up with Avner Krohn, and they're building a fairly substantial number of residential units.
Yeah.
So, Richie's alive, he's here, he does things. He also did the bank in the center of town across from Farmington Country Club.
Yeah.
Whatever bank that is.
Yeah, Big X, Berkshire.
Big X.
Berkshire, yeah.
So, he's active, he's very accessible, he's a very nice guy. So if we were to say, hey Richie, you want a cup of coffee? What we can't do is summon developers into here on Tuesday at 6:30. That doesn't work.
No, because they're going to clam up. They're not going to divulge.
The Pizzuto approach.
Yeah, that works.
Is the best approach. So again, as I've said to you, Bob, repeatedly, I'd certainly be happy to set up a meeting with Richie.
Do it.
No problem.
Do it. I'd go tomorrow.
Okay.
Or even Thursday.
He's a local Canton guy as well?
No. Richie lives in West Hartford.
Oh, West Hartford.
Yeah. I've been big buddies with him. We were at Farmington Country Club together for years.
Yeah.
And he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Not a big developer. But he's connected to Avner Krohn, of course, is gigantic.
Yeah.
And he partnered with Avner in West Hartford Center. I don't know how that happened, but he did.
Yeah. It's a small community where everybody knows each other, you know, and they know what they're doing. They know who's doing, who's succeeding, who's not.
Do you know the Simons?
No.
You know the Simons?
No. I met one of the Conovers. Had a nice talk with him years ago.
See, Richie was part of that group.
Uh-huh.
He worked with them. He was a partner in that group, and then he decided he didn't want to be, and he went out on his own.
Yeah. A little similar to Mike Goldman. He used to work with Conover.
Yep.
He was Conover's guy. Who was that guy that we met with in Torrington, the one who did all that?
Well, that was Murray.
Yeah, he was a nice guy. He was working with Lexington, right? Lexington Partners.
He was Lexington Partners.
No, this was the guy who brought
in... Oh, the other guy.
Yeah, he brought in...
Yeah, you're right.
He brought in the son.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a very nice meeting.
So, you know, if EDA wants developer outreach, literally, the way you do it is one-on-one meetings, two of us, three of us, a cup of coffee here and there. And we know you, me, certainly enough people to drink a lot of coffee.
Absolutely. Coffee is good.
Yeah. We could do that for a long time.
America runs on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll do it. You do it.
I'll do it.
You set it up, I'll be there.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, facade improvement, we chatted.
We chatted a little bit about it. Fortunately, I just haven't done much of it with my recent schedule, but I know we had the email back from the Main Street group. I didn't get if that was from, what was the gentleman's name?
Oh, Carl.
Carl
Rosa. We can meet with him.
Yeah, I don't know if that was hey, since you guys aren't involved anymore.
We'll get him.
Okay.
Pizza.
Yeah.
Pizza works.
We'll have to, we have a blueprint from somebody wrote from a while ago. I think really most of it is kind of augmenting that to fit our needs a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
And getting it in place. But the biggest issue is going to be funding of it.
Yep.
So that's where, you know, I read through that grant I looked at. And it just talks about municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't say anything to specific projects. It just says municipal projects and municipalities. It kept referring to. So that I don't know if the municipality has to request the grant.
That can be tricky. We've seen that be, you know, trip us up before.
Right.
I mean, the municipality has to be the one to apply for the grant, but then the question is can the municipality expend those funds on private property? In some years, yes, in other years, no.
Right, yeah.
And I don't know what next year is going to be.
Yeah.
So we have to be aware when it actually gets released.
Yeah, they change the rules year by year. It's crazy. You know, they call them steep grants.
For years, towns were doing things like this where they're funding facade improvement programs, which clearly is on private property, and then all of a sudden it was like, well, no, it has to be invested on town property only. Which, it's hard to do economic assistance only on public land.
Yeah. Well, it was the woman I spoke to from, I want to say Weathersfield. There was two of them. The woman I spoke to from there, that was their issue, was they were waiting to see if they were going to get funding this year or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't get funding, then they had nothing to give out this year. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
So I think, yeah, I mean, we can push to have something ready for the end of the year to, you know, to go with, that at least we could make a, because I think it was February last year, or this year was when it was due.
Yeah.
So at least if we have it, you know, a program... framework of a program to give the selectmen to say we'd like to, you know, request this grant if it is available.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
So
you're available pretty much any time, or
usually within about like a week's notice, you know, I'm pretty much available. But yeah, just whenever we're gonna meet with him, whatever looks good in his schedule. I'm here all of next week, and then the following three weeks I'm basically in and out portions of those weeks from a couple of vacations that we've got.
Yeah.
So,
We'll figure it out with Carl.
Yeah.
But there'll definitely be pizza involved. Pick your favorite pizza and we'll go and try it out.
Yeah, let's go.
It's been a thing. Economic landscape, I think we're...
What do we have on that? I don't have anything on that. I mean, I feel like the presentation
Matt,
is
right?
Great. Matt's done a couple of them, and I think he's done a good job on them. And I think every month we talk about other opportunities to do it elsewhere, but I think we should probably have him here for that.
Yeah. Should we reach out to CARE?
You could. Yeah, that might not be a bad idea. Yeah.
Okay. I'll reach out to CARE.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like that very, very lovely presentation.
Oh, it's good.
And it is, that everybody put so much work in. Yeah. Is DOA.
Yeah. We're not using it. We're not using
DOA.
It.
DOA. And I had said before, when we went to the infamous dinner,
Oh, yeah. That was great.
That dinner.
That was...
Why don't we do like what we used to do? And blanket the hell out of this place with that presentation.
Mm.
With every group, anytime three people are together, we present it to them.
Mm.
And we just flood Canton with that really nice presentation.
Yeah.
And I guess that was kind of like, yeah.
No, it's a little tricky, a little tricky. But if we can chunk that presentation into like maybe four or five articles, and feed them, spoon feed them to the press, I think we could get some traction.
Who's CARE?
CARE is Canton.
Kids for Responsible Expansion.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you. Away. Yep. They're a group that gets involved in development projects that either they like or they don't like, yep. And they advocate.
I'd say I think they originated more as smart growth advocates back in the day when there was concern about, you know, more village scale properties being torn down and replaced with large, huge parking lots to support big box development and Walmarts and things of that nature that, I think was, you know, well attended. And, you know, I think their role has kind of evolved as the whole development scheme has evolved because, you know, that used to be one of the largest concerns in growth and development. And now it's not even nobody talks about it anymore, so.
Yeah.
But they've certainly tried to keep up with the changes in the market and public interest.
Collinsville Streetscape, I don't think we have anything. Or...
No, I do know later tonight the Historic District's talking about, and they've been working very hard on adding a plaque to the corner on River Road for David Leff, the former town historian, in honor of all of his work. For the town and his, you know, all the great things he's done, but on that's one of the locations where, remember, we're supposed to be looking for ideas on how to bookend each side of that business district with some public art to draw more interest to it. So I think one of our last discussions was possibly reaching out to the Main Street program or the merchants group about if they had any funding or people that wanted to try to maybe facilitate that. So
yeah, probably be good to get some of the folks who definitely have opinions on River Street about what
River
kind
Street
of
art.
Yeah. Okay. And then we have WPCA.
Right. So basically, at the last meeting, the EDA asked for a number of different things to be added to the flow profiles that John Kaminsky, the superintendent, was giving us, and put in the meeting packet an updated one. We had asked for milestones to be added, like so when they do the manhole grouting, when they did the INI study, when they did the pipelining, so we can kind of see if there's any direct change in flow, which he did do rather quickly, which we appreciate. And we also asked him if he would be able to plot on it a line that provides a ratio between the sewer flow and rainfall, which he got back to me and said it was going to be a little bit more complicated, but they are almost done with their flow analysis, which will give us actually even better data over, I think it was, I forgot the number of months that it ran for, but over the period of time that it ran, it'll give us very good data on exactly what flow is going where, and that'll correspond to a lot of things, because basically, you know, when we know we don't have rainfall
and we have high flows going through a certain area, or no flow going, and then we do have rainfall, it does increase. We know that's where we have to focus our areas on. But the other thing going on with that is they're starting their process of outreach for their facilities, future facilities plan, which they want a lot of input from me as a town planner, and I've sent them back a note saying I'm happy to meet with them, but I'd like to see if as part of that outreach, if they'd be willing to meet with the ADA and Planning and Zoning Commission, because I think that would be important. And you know, we'll see how we'll set that up. I don't know how much time or budget or whatever they have for the consultant on that, but I said either it'd be great to kind of get them to come here, or for if that doesn't work, can I get like a representative of EDA and PZC to come to the meeting that I go to, maybe we go to one of their meetings, or I have representatives go. I don't know, but I thought that would be good for there to be additional involvement with EDA and Planning and Zoning if they're looking for input and involvement in their facility and future facilities plan.
Yeah, that'd be good. I mean, I thought that ratio idea was really good, really good. And frankly, you know, I'm looking at this chart here, and I just, you know, it's one of those things where I think I understand it, and then when the closer I look, the more I realize I don't, because there's so much data on here, and we've got two vertical scales, and so I'm trying to see how the rainfall and the daily flow correlate, and that ratio would just simplify the whole thing, you know, just make it like, here it is, you know, this is where it's at. And if it gets, you know, and basically that gives us like a, almost like a speedometer kind of deal. You know, you're over. You know, you're within the safe zone.
Right.
So, I think that'd be really great. Any questions, thoughts? And marketing. Nothing?
Anything?
And we're into minutes.
I don't know when I can raise this, but
of course, yeah.
The thing that you and I talk about that knocks me out here in Littleton is we've got one handful of projects that act like they're alive, but they're not really, are they? We talk about 100 housing units to be built behind CVS. Well, I live there. That's where I live. And what do you think there is right in front of that property?
Mm-hmm.
A gigantic sign that says for rent or lease. Well, that doesn't act like 100 apartment units being built. There's a huge sign that says for rent or lease. And every time I see old Bob, I go, hey, Bob.
Yeah.
What's with that sign? And Bob goes, no, ignore that. That's yeah. Doing just
it's
lying.
Too bad that we don't have that. We haven't gone through the staff report because there is an update on all of that.
There's an update on that?
There's absolutely. There's an update on all of the zombie projects, as you call them, the projects that are underway. Yeah. I am still offering to lead a field trip to Bird Code down in West Hartford. Because I've heard it's pretty darn good.
Well, it's good.
It's yeah. I want to go.
Don't go too spicy.
No,
right? Like even like mild is a little spicy.
Yeah.
That's issue number two.
Okay.
I live right on that corner, don't I?
Yeah.
I don't see no chicken.
No. You probably won't see chicken for a while, right?
I don't have an update on.
What is that about?
What? They're fighting other wars, I think.
And then project number three. We got five projects. Three of them are dead in the water. Mm-hmm. One of the things I said when we came back on this committee is, does anybody think that I'll live to see any activity at the Axe Factory? I'm old. And everybody went, ha, ha, ha. Oh, of course you won't. Doesn't look like it, does it? I don't know what those two silly girls are doing. And what they got and what they've applied for and what they didn't apply for. All I know is if you go by the X Factory, guess what? There's not nothing going on. Nothing. Yeah. And it's been that way for 25 years.
That's not, that is a misrepresentation of the facts. It really is. Neil, do you want to
Well, I mean, with the Axe Factory, I think last month we talked about, we saw them cleaning up the site, which it looked better than I think many of us have ever seen it. You know, they're out there removing the vegetation, the invasives. They uncovered walls that I think I've never seen before in my career being here, and stuff like that. And then, you know, I know I covered that the owners are very anxious for the results of those grants I mentioned earlier to be moving forward. And unfortunately, there's a lot of bureaucracy that comes with using, you know, other people's money when it's public money. So that's unfortunate, but that's how that works. And I don't know what else to say, but I feel like we have the same conversation every month, unfortunately.
We do, don't we?
Yeah.
Before we go,
be buildings there?
Yes. Before we go any further, there's been some work on one of those canals.
That's not going through us, so I don't know all the details, but they're working through the DEP, I think Dam Safety Program, on restoring some of the water flow underneath the building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they did take down those two very large buildings that had been condemned.
I mean, at the end of the day, you have owners that are spending money on the property, which is the first time in my career here that I've actually seen that. Even when the building was being, you know, very active, I didn't see much money going back into the property at all. And now you see people using money and putting it back in the property and trying to improve it. But it's not, no, you're not going to see buildings overnight. You're not going to see them tomorrow. You're not going to probably see them in 12 months under the best of scenarios.
But it doesn't mean that work is not going on. I mean, they've taken down a lot of invasives. I know that. Taken down those buildings, and they've cleared this stuff, and they're shoring up infrastructure where they can, where they have permission to. So they are moving forward. It's not the kind of, we can't see it the way we would typically see an apartment building going up. You know, when we think of development, we think of things going out of the ground. They're above ground. And as Neil says, we're not going to see out of the ground stuff for a while. But that doesn't mean things aren't happening.
And all I can tell you is in three of our major development projects, there aren't very many, three of our very major development projects, nothing. The sign behind CVS sits there. I don't know whether people are building those apartments or not. If they are, why do they have that sign there?
Yeah, I actually spoke to them today about that because I kind of get that question from other commissioners as well and other boards on this one. But they're out doing field survey work right now. You'll probably see them out the remainder of this week doing survey work. Then they're going to see erosion controls go up next week, and then you'll probably see in the next week to 2 weeks the ground start to be cleared on that property. And I asked the project manager today if, as they're out there doing that initial work, if they could take that very large for sale sign down. And he said, yes, it'll be down by the end of the week. So that's good to hear. But we are communicating with them almost every day, the developers of that property. Now, keep in mind, they don't have their building permits yet. They got pre-approval to do the site work. They got their land use approvals, and they're holding back the permit submission for construction, so all of it comes in all at once. But they're vetting out problems with communications with town staff weekly prior to that coming in. So again, somebody's paying private consultants a lot of money and private contractors money to be mobilizing, communicating, updating plans. And so that's work occurring that you don't see on the ground. And hopefully you'll start to see those starting signs very, very soon. But I can't control anybody's schedule. But that's what's been going on from my perspective, which nobody else here would normally get to see. So that's that project. I don't know if you want to just go around the different projects and I try to get the best update I can.
Sure, yeah.
And
yeah.
Burn Code, I have no idea. I've reported the same thing several months, and I don't know. We'll just have to wait another month and see.
Does anybody ask them?
Yeah, I asked them that, and they said they're still paying their lease on it. They're spending money on it. And last time I talked to them, which was in person, they were, you know, the example of small business that grew too fast, and they are opening stores in other places, and you know, unfortunately, they can only do so much. And I don't know why they're choosing those over ours. I mean, maybe because New York City is a better market. Maybe Florida is a better market. But Eventually, they're paying the rent on the Canton store, even though it's not there. So that's the last communication I had. Has anything changed since then? I don't know. But that's that one. We are going to get an application for an PZC next week, which I haven't reviewed yet, but I've been working with the owner and the designer on it for about 2 years. It's directly across from the Canton IGA. I don't know if you remember the presentation slides I showed you from the form-based code. It showed building out the Canton IGA parking lot with like a row of buildings close to the street.
Right.
And the form-based code is supposed to mirror that on the other side. So we kind of changed the context of Dowd Avenue there to almost like a more dense village center on the Dowd side. And that was originally going to be a row of townhouses on the Dowd Avenue side. And in working with the site designer over the last year, when you things always kind of say, oh, that looks great when you're working and planning, and then when you get to the actual design and the nitty-gritty details, there are so many different constraints between DOT easements, storm drainage easements, changes in wetlands, so many different things that it's been downsized now to just, I think, two family homes. So you have four new units go there. But it'll be something. But it's an incredibly constrained site. So that's going to be before PZC. Further on past that is the 3842 Dowd, which was one of our zombie projects, I guess I'd say, based on the earlier comment. And that's interesting. I met with a very reputable developer who builds, high-dense projects in many other communities just like the week before I went on vacation. And he was very interested in it, but I would say, my takeaway from his comments were he wanted to increase the number of units on the property to make it work, and which meant also increasing parking, which meant, okay, well, we have this nice green area that kind of separates the residents on the west side from the buildings and the parking lot. Mm-hmm. You'd have to be, and that's mostly for stormwater, but it serves that double purpose. You'd have to take that and pay to move it underneath the parking lot and then add additional development there, which is now going to raise your cost per parking space per dwelling unit considerably. And I'm like, you want to do that, you got to go back to the commission. I think it's a great project as designed. I'm not sure if it's even feasible to do what he was saying. But his other concern was he wasn't happy with the requirement that the ground floor in one of the scenarios be commercial in the frontage building, that 6,000 square feet commercial. Mm-hmm. And I think he was hoping that it would be, well, can I make that the gym that services the residents? And it's like, well, no, it's commercial. If you wanted to lease it out to a gym that or health club that is available to the residents and also, private customers, that'd be a win-win. And you don't have to manage it and operate, you get revenue, right, et cetera. And that was kind of the end of our conversation. I haven't heard back since, but it was the only somewhat recent, contact I had with the developer seriously evaluating that property. 75 Volcan Road, which is another ghost project, that is just, it's going to hang there until something changes, but the water company will not change its connection policy. It's insisting that we run the water line through rock a long distance on Volcan Road instead of through sand, through the accessway to a much shorter distance to where the water main is now. Mm-hmm. And that's their policy, and that puts a huge number in that project, and nobody's looking at it because of that. Mm-hmm. Unless you can merge it with another site, like the property next door that's not for sale, you can't make the numbers work from what the developers are telling me.
Yeah.
I mean, this would be great if Pizzuto decided, to merge the two the IGA property with that property and get into the apartments, but so far he's not indicated an interest a concrete interest in doing that. But we have talked to him about it, and we did have that walk around with his real estate guy, Bill Carazella.
Yeah.
And very interested in a lot of these things, but we don't know. He's had some discussions from what I understand, but I haven't heard anything back from him or the people he was talking with.
There's also those some more condos, I think, or apartments in Dana
yep.
Drive.
We're working on that. Nathaniel's been working through the building permit submission for that. Mm-hmm. Had a little bit of hiccup because some of the stuff that came in on the building permit didn't match what was in the zoning approval, and they're just working to reconcile that now. But that's another one where, every week we're communicating with them. We did a site walk on the property.
They're going to connect to the sewer, I assume, right?
No.
No, so we can do septic and...
Yeah, and that's actually an example of regional interest because, you know, one of the problems in the region is trying to figure out how to increase, you know, housing diversity and, mm-hmm. you know, outside of septic, I mean, sewered areas, it's very hard. So that's one where they're basically the health district is treating it. It's 5 one-bedroom townhouses, right? So it's basically treating the site as if you're putting a 5-bedroom house on it.
Oh.
And apparently the math works out in the way the health district views it, so that's kind of interesting. It kind of shows you might be able to do, you know, a slightly higher density in some areas without access to sewer if you're a little bit creative. And some other people are following that to see if it's, you know, all going to work. But they're in building right now with their permitting, and they were out on the site looking at vegetation lines, what they have to clear, what vegetation they need to save, surveying those to get back to us. So. Again, work's going on, but you're not going to see it by driving by the site.
Yeah.
One question about that. Is it the Carrier site? Or the one that you were talking
about?
Yeah,
that's the one on Dowd across from the IGA.
Yeah. Now, is that that little brown house that's in
there? There's two tiny little single-family homes there. And I remember meeting the older gentleman who he's passed away now, but when I first started working here, and him and, like, 5 brothers grew up in one of them, and I think his uncle and, like, 3 or 4 kids lived in the other one, and just different times, you know. But there is a lot of people living in those two houses that, some, you know, most of their occupied history, and then they passed away, and, you know, now the carriers bought it. But there's 2 tiny little homes there.
So those homes, when this thing goes through, if this thing gets approved, those homes will be replaced by modern two-family houses.
Two-family, yep.
Yeah, which is going to have a very different visual impact on that area.
Yes.
You don't even see those two homes.
No, you don't.
You have to really be looking to notice that they're
there. Yeah.
Which is good.
Perfect.
Yeah, they sure are. They just, like,
not seeing is a good thing.
It will be I think that's a fair point. It'd be a big visual impact. Now, it might not be as much of one if they were being maintained and the people were mowing the yards that used to be there and et cetera, but you can't see any of that. It might as well be forest land now.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're tearing apart the Citgo. That's another gas station that's coming in? That's what I heard.
It's complicated. That's really complicated. We have the current owner, and you have the former tenant who has legal requirements in their lease to return portions of the site to the way it was before they occupied it. But other than that, has no other rights on the property. Then you have a potential purchaser who I believe wants to put in a gas station. But I'm constantly in like a weird circle of communication between those 3 parties.
Yeah, I saw them pulling up the tanks, and I figured it was probably just the tanks have to be pulled up every so many years anyway. I was assuming that was where they were at that point.
Yeah, so somebody else is likely going to buy that and most likely open up for another gas station.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to see what we could do to try to improve the whole layout and aesthetics of the site when we have that opportunity, because once you never get that chance again for 50 years. And, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you view property rights, the owner is legally entitled to keep what they have as, you know, lawful non-conforming rights. And at the same time, you know, when you make changes, how much changes do you make before, okay, well, that's not maintaining what you have. You're actually expanding and growing into a different direction, which means now you got to comply. And it kind of creates a gray area where you try to figure out how do we manage this. So we're not impinging your rights, but, you know, you're complying with new requirements that make the site a better place for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, lastly.
Which one?
Lastly. We know the passing of Betty Fiore's house.
Yes. Yes.
In one day.
In one day.
It was there and it wasn't there.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. I did, by the way. Rich Correa, and I thanked him for his patience. Infinite patience. He's represented Betty Fiore for decades.
And she's still alive?
Yes.
Yes.
She is.
Yep.
Lastly, on my part, and I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I know you want on this meet. In all the things that don't get done, the thing that does get done in Canton is Applegate Farms. They threw that up overnight. That project went up overnight. And of all the projects you think wouldn't, that's the one. What an ugly mess. It's a jumble of 40 houses, all on top of one another, in every which way you can possibly lay out a foundation, in the middle of each other, on top of each other. And by the way, they're selling like hotcakes.
Yeah,
they are.
I can't believe how they're selling.
Selling like hotcakes. Crazy money.
Over asking.
I don't know.
I think they sell almost as soon as they're made available.
Before,
they're done within days.
But people in there now?
Yeah.
Other?
Yeah. Yeah, you're
but
right.
But the layout.
I mean, they might as well have gone with that habitat design up in Montreal. Remember that one?
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, what a
screwed up mess.
They stack on top of each other.
Yeah.
That's obviously a sign of where the market is in many ways. I mean, Jennifer would be one of the ones.
But it kind of makes you wonder. Here, our projects sit there. Our ghost projects sit there. And they don't go anywhere. And whatever farm.
Yeah.
Boom. There they are.
Yeah.
One, two,
but,
three.
But I you
How's
know.
That happen?
We're seeing the you know, the final, you know, above ground result. But I think there are years of.
Yeah, I started meeting with them in 2019. And we were working on the land use stuff around that time. And then we had many meetings where him and I both had COVID and we were online together. But anyway, yeah, it takes a while. You know.
Has that project run the gauntlet of all of our land use committees?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's all approved. It's all approved.
I mean, obviously, it's approved because there it is.
Yeah.
But did that run the gauntlet with all the naysayers?
Yeah.
It's the ugliest project I've ever seen.
Oh, I've seen uglier. I've seen uglier.
Short of Montreal.
Actually, that's not as bad as some of the one little building I saw down in Cheshire. You and I saw it.
Okay. Never mind. It makes me wonder how projects that we're trying to get done don't get done. And lo and behold, there it is.
Yeah, I think we need to have a little more realistic time frame for our expectations.
I'm sorry, we're cutting up because I'm listening to your point. Like 5 Cherry Brook, which is a huge project. I mean, gosh, that was initially we were working on that in like 2013.
Yeah.
I don't think it got approved till 16, 17, and then it was built like 6 years later, 7 years later.
Yeah. The owner sat on it. I mean, I remember listening to his presentation, you know, with Gary Roman.
Right.
Back in 2015, he was looking for tax credits and all that kind of stuff. And that thing, you're right, didn't get built until 2021.
Right. So I mean, stuff.
Yeah, right after COVID, basically.
Yeah.
Stuff doesn't always get built. It doesn't always get built right away. I mean, a lot of people get concerned, as Barry was mentioning, when something gets proposed and it stirs up a lot of interest, concerns, and then a lot of times nothing happens, and that is part of the market, unfortunately. And you know, I guess you know, at some point, the question would be, if we're really concerned, is that happening more here than it is in other communities?
Oh yeah,
you know?
Yes. Of course it is.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that the whole Avon, you know, where the Whole Foods is.
Yeah,
that was the finished. Was it the second phase? Has never been built.
Yeah,
and it's a third phase also. If I remember correctly, they're supposed to have like a million plus square feet of space, and
that's your friend.
Easily half of it is empty at this point.
Yeah. Mm,
but they built. Look at what they built.
Yeah,
but they built some big buildings.
A huge amount.
Will it stay? I mean, like I don't know if you've like a predecessor. This is the. Was it the lifestyle center that's over on the Manchester South Windsor Line, Evergreen Walk?
Yep.
And then was going, like the Geisler's just closed, right? Or it's closing, right? And that whole project had another phase that got hung up with the town and concerns and apartments and this and that. A lot of that never happened. And, you know, now it's not, you know, you have the grocery store not staying in business. I don't know. I mean, there's other issues going on, but you know, at some point, if the whole project doesn't always happen, there are other effects that happen.
Right. Well,
so.
Just another little bit of history. The Peak Experience, which was the original the concept behind the shops, started off as a proposal for Simsbury. You know, they got rejected in Simsbury, and then it was proposed for that site, where we now have the Whole Foods in Carpenada built that thing. It was proposed for that site, and it didn't look like it was going to work there, and then they went to Canton. So Canton was the third choice, the third choice for that project. That was, what, Tim Ellsworth and Rich Correa.
Right.
They were the prime movers on that thing. I still have the original Peak Experience brochure. It's fascinating. You know, so, and then even then, getting the approval for the shops took time. And then we had to, you know, sit through watching first Kohl's, you know, and then, you know, just...
But Carpenado screwed that up 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, after years and years and years of prep. You know, it doesn't just, you know, somebody says, I got an idea, here's the plan, prove the plan, build it. Rarely, if ever happens.
It makes you wonder why anybody gets into the business when you think of how long it takes some of these projects to actually come to fruition.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's now what he's doing the West Hartford one on the corner of Trentbrook. That used to be the UConn Law School.
Oh, right.
Oh, that's Carpenado that as well.
Yeah, I saw that. That's a huge pile of housing in there.
I didn't know
it could support that. I passed there a few weeks ago. I looked over and said, holy shit, where'd that come from?
Yeah, they took out the whale and they put up all these apartments.
It's just staggering how much apartment space is being built all around that area.
Yeah.
Between the Kingsford-Oxford stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And across the corner there. It's like
the old West Hartford Inn, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that community is going to go from about, what, 65,000 to maybe 75,000?
I don't know. I mean, because, again, think that the household size is shrinking, you know. So what you have is this, in a lot of communities, you have the same number of people being spread out over a larger number of units. Mm-hmm. So we have a need for more households, but we have less people in each household.
Right. The first multifamily developer in West Hartford of that project was Abe.
Yeah.
Abe was the first one who took down the Masonic Lodge on... next to his store, and built multifamily housing.
Wow.
That's a nice project there.
Yeah. Nice Abe project. Abe did great work.
Right into that little square there.
Yeah. Yeah. But, hey, remember Blue Black Square? That didn't start off. That did not have an auspicious beginning either. I mean, you had Taubman going after those guys. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I think we've got through the development update.
I think so. I can't think of anything else. I can't think of anything else that's not going on.
No, the liquor store is still potting along.
They are. They're going.
Yeah. They have
talking
some
about
choppiness.
As slow as you can possibly be.
They're moving, though.
They still tell that story.
That I would have gone to the weird meeting.
I'm telling instead. You. Yeah. You would have missed all this?
We don't know that you didn't.
That's right. How do you know?
Yeah. Does anybody know, like, you know, where, and I sent an email, but no one responded, but when you're on 44 where the road splits coming into town, right before the Sabre Fish House there?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That side?
Like in the middle green there?
Yeah.
They marked it off. They came out.
There was an article.
Flowers for the bees.
I thought I sent it out to everybody.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was... DOT was doing a pollinator.
Pollinator.
Really?
It's part of the pollinator.
Yeah, because yes.
I'm
yeah,
sorry, I thought I was sending an email back there.
Yeah, I was wondering what that was, because they came out, there's a sign there, but you can't see it. It's like this big.
Yeah.
And they came out and, like, you know,
it's for the
dug
bees.
It all up.
The sign is for the bees.
Yeah.
To tell them it's coming.
Are they going to be planting stuff there, or are they just going?
I think they have already.
Okay.
It's supposed to be basically wildflowers and bee-friendly flowers and plants and stuff like that.
I was wondering if, like, Canton was doing something and put, like, a nice... Welcome to Canton sign, or...
I mean, we have the, you know, the pollinator walk down by...
Oh, we sure do.
Yeah.
And those ladies are out there.
3 weeks ago.
They are out
there.
They are
out there. There's a bunch of news articles.
Pulling weeds. Pulling weeds. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope they get paid.
No.
No,
they don't.
No. No, they don't. They don't. All right. Review of minutes. Motion to accept, or...
I review them. They look good. Motion to approve. Who did it last time? Was it Jen?
No, it was me.
It was you?
It was me.
Nice.
All right, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All right, so that's unanimous. And then we have one more thing to do, and that is to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. All right, all in favor? Aye. We are adjourned at 7:30.